And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Donald Trump is such a narcissist that Barack Obama looks at him and goes, dude, what's your problem? Everything in Donald's world is about Donald. And he combines being a pathological liar. And I say pathological because I actually think Donald, if you hooked him up to a lie detector test, he could say one thing in the morning, one thing at noon, and one thing in the evening. Whatever lie he's telling at that minute, he believes it. But the man is utterly amoral.
It's the sound of a thrashing fish on the end of a hook. A fish bleeding to death in the water. Well, and turn off the... Listen, I don't mind them fighting with each other, but what Cruz is saying about Trump is so destructive, as is true about what Trump has said about Cruz, that I don't know how they're going to come back from this. I told you last time that, in my opinion, in the last election, it was Newt Gingrich who destroyed Mitt Romney. It was Gingrich's opposition research on Romney that he used against him. He destroyed Romney, cut his heart out. And, of course, it was then used by Barry's people to destroy Romney. And then Romney threw the debates. But the fact is, it's happening all over again. Now, I have no further comment on that other than to say it's shocking that Cruz would go on and on like this, especially when Obama is such a devastatingly evil man. And I will use those words again, devastatingly evil, and I don't care how many progressives are offended by what I am saying. This man is destroying this country day by day, and he gets away with it because of you. He gets away with it because of the so-called progressives in the media who refuse to watch what he's doing. I have one thing after another to tell you about, so let me make it real simple for you. It's something that caught a lot of traction on my Facebook page. When it came out the other day that Obama was going to spend $17,000 per illegal immigrant to make them comfortable in America, and we compared that with how much is being spent on Social Security recipients in America, people finally stopped and said, wait a minute, that can't be true. Washington Examiner story, your president has budgeted $17,000 for every new illegal minor, more than Social Security retirees get. We've got veterans rotting in VA hospitals. We've got seniors who worked their whole life putting money into Social Security, getting half of that. And this man wants to spend $17,000 of your money for every one of the 75,000 estimated Central American teens expected to be invited into this country by the President of the United States. Now, add to that the cost of sending these immigrants to school, sending them to doctors and hospitals, the legal costs, the housing costs. How much does your mother get a year? How much does your mother get a year? $9,000 a year? Now, that's just the beginning of what this man is doing while veterans are rotting and while seniors are begging. Look at what he did to the military. He took a woman who never fired a gun in combat, and after 200 years at West Point, he put a woman who never fired a gun in charge of West Point. Does this add up for you in any way? Does it show you what's going on? Yes. Now let's take a jump cut together. Last night I was watching a replay of a movie I liked very much years ago entitled The Good Shepherd. It had Matt Damon in it, who's a left-wing fanatic, Robert De Niro, a left-wing fanatic. And I guess it was an attempt to make the CIA look bad. I didn't see it quite that way. I saw the CIA as something good, by the way. Without an intelligence agency, what we have is what we have now. Without an actual CIA, which we don't have now, we have a citizen investigation organization rather than a CIA. Instead of a central intelligence agency that's focusing on the Muslims, focusing on the enemies, they're focusing on citizens. Read Mr. Snowden's work. You'll know what I'm talking about. So I'm watching The Good Shepherd last night, and there's a very telling scene between the guy who plays the young CIA agent, Matt Damon, who's an American type, you know, WASP, let's put it to you that way, let's make it very ethnic. And in one scene he goes visits a character played by Joe Pesci, who's an Italian gangster in the movie. I want you to listen to it for a minute. It's very important you hear clip number one on The Savage Nation.
Tina, the kids.
All right, come on, kids. Come on,
come on. Come on, please.
some coffee, whatever.
Is there someplace else we could go?
Right, Daddy, we're going down to the beach. We'll be back in a while.
Make sure they don't go into the water unless somebody's watching.
No, I'm going to let them drown.
Make sure they put their shoes on. They'll burn their feet.
Yeah, we're getting their shoes. All right, come on. Let's go.
So slow you could fall asleep. They could have done a little editing on this, Doug.
What do you want to talk to me about?
The government's about to deport you for certain activities.
I'm in this country since I'm 2 months old. Does that make me Italian? I'm American. And they're trying to send me back?
I could have the deportation order reviewed. Have you classified as highly sensitive for national security? I could take the government off your back if you can help us.
Usually the guys that scare me. You're the people that make big wars.
No, we make sure the wars are small ones, Mr. Palm.
Let me ask you something. We Italians, we got our families and we got the church. The Irish, they have the homeland. The Jews, their tradition. What about you people, Mr. Carlson? What do you have?
The United States of America. The rest of you are just visiting.
It's a chilling statement. It's a chilling insight into what this country once was, when there was a hardcore group of men dedicated to this nation, true patriots. They were in every agency of the country. Most of them were returning war veterans. Most of them would have given their lives for this nation. And I ask myself when I wake up, how in the world have we reached a point where a subversive like Barry Obama, yes, a subversive, this man, by the way, what he is doing, if you look back on the history, the recent history of America, forget the founding fathers for 1 second. I'm talking about recent history. Let's say from the Vietnam War on. What Obama has done and is doing to this nation is truly subversive. And I ask myself, where have all the good men gone? Where are they? Where have they gone? Where are they? Are they no longer in government? None of them work in the CIA. None of them work in the NSA. None of them work in defense. None of them work in the State Department. Where have all the good men gone? How could they let this man get away with this on a daily basis? Debasing the military, opening the borders. This was subversive activity that a communist would have dreamed of doing as near as 30 years ago. If a communist had invaded America and taken it over, he could not get away with what Obama is doing. At least I say that to myself, sitting here in my living room watching that show last night. Where have all the good men gone? They're not dead. They must know what's going on. Where are the war heroes? Where are the intelligence heroes? Are they not listening to the show? Where are you? You're listening to me on WMAL in Washington. God knows where else you are. Why are you doing nothing? Why do you say nothing? Why do you let this subversive get away with it? Why don't you say something? I feel as though I'm just screaming in the desert. I have no answer to this. And sometimes I have to look at art in order to get a picture of what's actually going on in the country. Where are the patriots? So now that's the beginning of today's show. And I want to say something about where I'm going to go with the show today. The standard format of talk radio for many decades now has either been seriousness interrupted with a comic aside or comedy interrupted with an occasional serious note. I have decided that the times are too rough right now to play that game, and I have moved more or less to straight-out drama for every show. Oh, yes, there's the occasional comedic interlude, but generally my shows have become extremely serious and dramatic, given the seriously dramatic times in which we live, and that's going to explain where I'm going with the show today. Article came out this morning on WorldNet Daily entitled, Michael Savage says Obama will sabotage the economy on the way out, which I'm going to get to in a minute. He is going to use a methodology that is used by all dictators to destroy the country. He will do it. He will sabotage this nation's economy on the way out. And in a way, I can predict pretty clearly. Now, yesterday, as the show unfolded and as we got to the end of it, I asked you for the best savagisms of my career, my 22-year career. Many of you are calling with really good stuff. Remember? such as Red Diaper Doper Babies, the government media complex. Someone called in with the stench from the benches making me clench. Jews and Christians both belong to the same corporation with different divisions. Liberalism is a mental disorder. The sewer pipe of Hollywood. The fourth estate becoming the fifth column. Me, immigrant, I sue ACLU. When women were straight and the chrome was thick. To the right of Rush and the left of God. You can't fool Savage any of the time. Compassionate conservative psychological nudity. Democrat, Republican, one-party system. Wisdom doesn't go out of style, even if it's in increasingly short supply. Never let an old person live in your body, etc. These were some of the phrases that I have coined, because I was saying to you, what do you think my legacy will be in terms of phraseology in all the years I've done radio? And some of those will live on. Probably borders, language, and culture will be the one thing people will remember 50 or 100 years from now, maybe some of the others. And that's part of what I'm going to do today. Lines and short stories remembered and a few personal experiences on the Savage Nation. And I'll get to that eventually. We even have a little soundbite of the callers who called in yesterday with the best savagisms, and I think we've touched on all of them right now. But I want to go into the first question of the day, which is, where are all the good men? Where have they gone? Where are the good shepherds? Have they all died? Why do they say nothing? Do you think you and I, the audience of this show, are the only ones who see what Obama is and what he's doing, that he's a subversive out to destroy the country? I go back again to the press thing the other night, the foreign correspondence thing or whatever they call it, the White House press thing. And I watched the man sitting on the stage preening as though he was God, with an arrogance I've never seen in a president's face, an arrogance approaching that of an ancient pharaoh. And I saw the stooges in the audience. I don't care where they were from. I didn't see smart people. I didn't see brave people. I saw little people. I saw little people in tuxedos and fancy dresses, sitting there looking at each other to see whether to laugh or frown, whether to chuckle or to jeer. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know where they were. They were followers, not leaders. They're the people who have destroyed America. It's the Wolf Blitzers of the world who have destroyed this country by not holding their feet to the fire. Remember what I said to you? Remember what I said to you? The fourth estate has become the fifth column. They're working for the enemy itself. Do they have any idea the consequences of what they have done and are doing to this country? Do those people who are listening to this show who sneer at me every day have any idea what this country is devolving into? Do they think it is progressing into something better? Or is it degrading itself into something worse? Is it a country that will be better for you to live in or worse for you to live in as the radical left continues its march to the total destruction of everything that we hold of value? Where are the good men? Where have they gone? That's what I'd like to know. So look, I've run through 20 minutes already, which is hard to believe, of this first hour. And when I come back, I'll take your calls, 855-47282. And I will explain to you how Obama is likely to sabotage the economy on the way out, right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Okay, so every show has a theme on the Savage Nation, and we're not all over the map. Today's theme is, where have the good shepherds gone? How could the good shepherds permit Obama and the extreme left that is running America subvert and literally destroy this country from within? It's a very simple question with very simple straight answers, and I want the answers from you. Is there no one listening to this show who has been or is in intelligence who is willing to step forward and divulge to us where you have gone and why you keep your mouth shut? Don't you understand you have become the good German? Don't tell me that if you lived during Hitler's time and you heard about the burning of bodies in the gas chambers, you would have done something. He's burning the nation to the ground. He is wrecking everything sacred to this nation and getting away with it without so much as a peep coming from the opposition party, because there is no opposition party, which explains Trump's rise. That's number one. And there's no opposition from within the media, because there is no media. It's the fifth estate, the fifth column. And there is no opposition coming from former intelligence officers and military officers who can stand up and say something. Where are they? They know what's going on. MAL,
Washington, D.C. Dylan, line five. Do you have an answer to this question?
I think so, sir. My father was a naval intelligence officer, worked for the United States military for 27 years, worked in a whole host of counterterrorism offices, and you know, his explanation for it is they're jaded, you know, their morale is completely worn down. These are men with great credentials, great degrees, they've commanded large swaths of men, private and public, and they don't like their decisions being questioned all the way up, you know, the bureaucratic chain of command, and they're worried if they do stand up that, you know, you kind of hit the nail on the head, who's going to have their back when the proverbial, you know, what hits the fan.
But you're saying they do see what Obama is doing? They see it? They know it? They talk about it?
I mean, I kind of get the feeling from my father that, you know, he's just at a point where he's served this country for so long, he's given it his all, and, you know, whether he sees...
You know, it's interesting what you say, Dylan. I tell you, somebody said to me the other day, you know, Savage, you've given everything to this country you can possibly give it. You don't owe this country anything more. He said, maybe it's time for you to consider that. I said, no, I wouldn't consider that. What do you mean? But there are people who think that way? You mean you put a line through what you've done and you're no longer that person? And what you do is you get drunk at the country club and play golf and you ignore what he's doing?
No, I don't think he actively ignores it. I just think he focuses his energies on, you know, building his retirement fund and taking care of me and my family, making sure me and my siblings are getting through college and, you know, have a good start.
Well, that I understand. I mean, children come first, so he's tending his own garden. All right, that's a rational answer. But is it what's going to be needed to save us from what is going on? That is the question. This is the Savage Nation. Where have the good shepherds gone? Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Rise and put your hand on your heart and give a shout-out to the United States of America. If you feel something stirring in you, you know what I'm talking about. If you feel nothing, turn the show off. Go listen to some jester or some degenerate, see if I care. Because there's only a few of us left in this country, and I'm one of them. And let me tell you something. Whatever time I may have left on earth or in radio, I'm going to use to expose what this man is and what he's doing to this country before it's totally too late. And it may be too late already. Many of you say, you know something, Savage, even if you believe it, it may be too late already. I don't believe that. I don't believe it for 1 minute. I believe that the battle has just begun. You know, there's an adage in sales that I learned when I was 18. The sale begins when the customer says no. It's the same with regard to this situation. The battle begins just when you think it's futile or it's over. This is the time to fight. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, today, now. When I see he's going to release $17,000 for every illegal alien teen that he wants to flood into America just in time for the election. When I see he released 10,000 gangbangers from Central America with tattoos on their necks just in time for the election, just in time to upset the middle class. When I see him looking the other way as Black Lives Matter rages across America attacking police. Shall I go down the list of what I see him doing? Because that's just the beginning. That's just the tip of the iceberg. And yet I see the same man who's destroying America, this subversive in the highest place that you could ever imagine. I see him preening during the press conference the other night, the press meeting, whatever they call it, the Stooges, National Correspondents Dinner. What a joke, correspondence. Correspondents Dinner. He sits there preening like he's God Almighty, like some ancient pharaonic figure. He may as well have been North Korea with Kim Jong-un. That's what it looked like to me with all the Lilliputians that were sitting there. No one dared criticize him. You don't have to be a Democrat or Republican to understand when a subversive has occupied the highest office in the land that you have to say something. You don't go, oh well, it's almost over. Oh well, soon there'll be a new president. Oh well, we've survived more. No, we haven't. No, we have not survived more. When I saw he took a woman who never fired a gun and made her the head of West Point, the first time in a 200-year history, I knew what was going on in a more clear manner than I've ever could believe. He's out to destroy every institution in the country so it's almost irreparable. He is practicing a campaign of scorched earth policy against our institutions. He wants to burn it to the ground. He wants to make it so it's impossible to come back from his 8 years, his 8 year reign of terror. But he is the most clever. He is the most clever dictator I've ever seen in my life. Through this silk smooth delivery, day by day, drip by drip, thousand slashes, he gets away with it. And you think there'd be people in the media, and there are, but they weren't at the correspondents' dinner. I didn't hear anyone stand up and shout out and say anything. Not one word. There was no shout out. So again, I'll go back to where I was at. I told you I was watching the movie The Good Shepherd replay last night. I had seen it's a little slow moving and a little somber. And of course, it was set up to make the CIA look bad. And of course, the greatest enemy of the CIA in American history is Dianne Feinstein, who, when Donald Trump becomes president, should be investigated from the top to the bottom to find out who she's really working for. Because I don't believe she's a loyal American. I personally believe from the bottom of my heart that she is the queen of hearts in Manchurian candidate. She ran a one-woman vendetta against the CIA in a way that was unimaginable, as though she had a personal vendetta against them. And there was only one reason for it, so far as I, an outside observer, could tell, and that's because somebody inside the CIA tipped her to the fact that they had something on her that would be devastating to her and her insider deals, according to the LA Times, going back many years. When I say insider deals, don't think I'm pulling this as a rabbit out of a hat. A woman who sits as the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee and says nothing about the threat of radical Islam, sits there gleaning whatever intelligence she can get, in my opinion, for personal gain, and I'm not the only one who sees this. When I see the billions of dollars in green contracts pouring into the hands of those in government, particularly those in the San Francisco area, I ask myself, am I the only one who sees this? Am I the only man walking around? Am I eyeless in Gaza? What is going on? Where are the good shepherds? They're certainly not in the newspaper business, that we know. Where are they in television? Few and far between. Where are they in radio? Few and far between. But where are they in government? These men didn't just disappear. All these straight and narrow Americans who would die for the country, where are they? What happened to them is the question of the day. So another movie I was watching recently, you know, life imitates art and all that, was the movie Casablanca with Humphrey Bogart. It's a very telling scene. It's when the Nazis have occupied France, and there's Rick's Club, and Bogart's Rick, he owns the famous nightclub, and the Nazi officers come in to enjoy a night on the town, and they start singing, they get drunk and start singing some German anthem, some Hitlerian anthem, and someone tells the band to start playing the Marseillaise, the French national anthem. And Rick gives the nod, go ahead. And the band starts to play it. And at first, the Germans try to sing it down. But soon, everyone in the nightclub who's terrified of the Nazis, something stirs in them. And they all start singing in the national anthem. And before long, they all stand up and they're singing as loud as you can ever imagine. And they drown out the Nazis. Suddenly, together, they realize they're stronger than the occupiers. And something in me said that if only somebody could ignite the spark of nationalism in America, and we could all sing the national anthem, we could save the country. That's what I thought. I guess there's a bit of a Boy Scout in me who still believes in these things. But I said, why are we not hearing this? Why are we not united? Why do we let people come over the border from Mexico and wave the Mexican flag and not speak the language and sing their anthem and exhibit a form of racism I've never seen in my life? La Raza? I told you I listened to Mexican stations here in San Francisco. It's hard not to. Every other station is a Mexican station. I kind of like listening to the music. Every other word out of their mouth is about their race and how superior it is. La raza, 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 race, 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 race. If you tuned in people on stations in Indiana, for example, who were talking about the white race like this, people would say that they're Ku Klux Klan or Nazis. Rasa, 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 every minute. Race, race, race. I've never seen a more race-obsessed issue than I see with this La Raza business. And who put her in the White House? The former agitator, left-wing fanatic agitator, Cecilia Munoz, M-U-N-O-Z, was taken from La Raza and put into the White House by the subversive in chief. Where are the good shepherds? Am I the only one who sees this? I'm not a one-man band. And I'm not Daniel. I can no longer scream alone, and I can't walk in a desert yelling anymore. I'm waiting for America to rise up. Now, you may say, well, Trump is that man. He's going to unite the country, which is why he's so hated by everyone who fears him. They fear it. They fear it. Viscerally, they know what's coming. They know that when America is finally united around a real leader who loves the country without any equivocation, no one's ever going to doubt his love for America. They may say things about him that are true, that are not very complimentary, but no one's ever going to say this man doesn't love this country. And when that day occurs, and it's okay to be an American again, and it's okay to sing the national anthem, and it's okay to put an American flag on your jacket again, or on your car window again, you're going to see changes in this country that you could never imagine could have happened after this reign of terror by the thin man from Honolulu, this fraud, this subversive, the most dangerous man in the history of America. And he gets away with it, and for the life of me, I don't understand how. Let me take a caller and see if he knows how. Line 5, WMAL. Go ahead, Robert. Say your piece here on the Savage Nation.
Whether or not I'm a good shepherd, and I often wonder whether or not I'm a good man or a father or grandfather, but I know I'm a good patriot, and I'm reasonably brave. I served during Vietnam. I was in the Air Force. I saw a lot of things, and probably the more hurtful things was going from airport to airport here in the U.S. and being called a murderer, a baby killer, to have protesters spit into my face. And we were easy targets. We had short hair. We were in uniform. And they would even throw little paper cups of urine onto us. And when we went to our commanders to get some protection or at least get some idea of how we could handle ourselves, we were told not to strike back. We were told to keep our mouths shut. We were told that if we challenged the protesters, we would be court-martialed. You know, it's when I wanted to speak up about things like this or things that I was seeing, an erosion of my community, my society, my country, I was to be branded a bigot, a racist. And it comes to a point where you don't lose your patriotism, you don't lose your guts, but sometimes you just have to stand down a little bit and suffer it along with others. But I can tell you one thing. We weren't trained to go out punch people or slap them down. We were trained to do a mission, and that was to kill our enemy. And it was very solemn. It was very direct. It was very clear. You put an M-16 into my hands, and you give me a reasonably good airplane, and I'll pick up the fight where it needs to be to bring to protect this country against.
No, Robert, I hear you, and I'm not thinking. I'm not saying that you're not making a very clear point. If I were to take the arc of what you just said and analyze it, what I'm hearing is, by permitting the vermin on the left to have degraded you after you served the country, you feel that you were demoralized by the vermin on the left from the day you came home from Vietnam. Well, you know and I know they're running the country right now. You and I both know that they're running the media right now. Isn't that correct?
No, it's absolutely correct.
Isn't it true that the vermin, the spitters, are now running this country?
My generation, they've stepped into play and they've taken over.
But isn't it also true that the very enemies that you fought in Vietnam, the Ho Chi Minhs and the communists, everything that they stood for is now what is the norm in America?
Very much so. Very much so.
Do the people understand how close we are to tipping over where we can never right the ship? If this ship takes on any much more water, it will tip over, it will be irrevocable, it can never be righted again. And Obama is now flooding the hole as fast as he can.
We seem to want to learn from the mistakes. We don't want to learn from experience. We just want to sit back and be complacent. And in, you know, at my age, at a point, you you don't want to bring any more suffering to your children, your grandchildren, but you also want to protect them as best you can.
I'll bet you are around my age, isn't that true? Are you in the, are you about 70?
No, a little younger.
Well, how come I keep fighting? What keeps me going? Am I stupid?
No, and I think that's the reason why I listen to intelligent people like yourself, people that are still carrying the flag, people that are still speaking up. There's very few of you out there, and we need that ignition behind us to push us.
I understand what you're saying, and I'm not here to accuse you or to make you uncomfortable in any way. I must tell you the motivation for this show is purely derived from that film, The Good Shepherd, where, because I keep asking, where are they? Where are all the CIA individuals who know what's going on? Where have they gone? Did you serve in intelligence, Robert?
Yes, I was in communications and held a secret security clearance.
So there are a lot of men like you around who are still around who know what's going on. What do they say to each other in the privacy of their own homes about this man? Do they know that he is a subversive?
Oh, I believe so, absolutely. But the problem is how far we can really, it's back to playing the race card again. It's back to we still haven't gotten past, we're getting there, but to where we can speak up and call people for what they are.
Well, we know that Obama uses his race as a weapon. Everybody knows that. But we all know that evil comes in all forms and all shades, and goodness comes in all forms and all shades. Why should we be intimidated by his racial orientation? Why should that intimidate everyone? We've seen good and evil in all races. Why is he immune from that analysis?
Well, I think he's found a tool that is best used to prod and provoke us. It's a tool that, look, I served with men of all races and colors, and we were a brotherhood.
Robert, I have to take what is known as an important commercial break. There'd be no show at all. I find this conversation extremely enlightening. I think my audience does as well. If you care to hold on, fine. If you decide not to, that's also good. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. We have only a minute in this hour. There are solutions to this problem. When the new administration takes office, when Donald Trump becomes president, and let's hope to God he gets to the finish line and something terrible doesn't stand in his way, the new president of the United States must indict under RICO the criminal organizations that have been organized by Obama to radicalize others and to create disturbances in the street that clearly qualify for action under the RICO statutes, by the way. If you look at the black supremacist criminal organization, if you look at the immoral, violent, ungrateful miscreants in the streets who have been funded by the government, invited into the White House, ask yourself a question. Do you want gangs dictating the policies of the future? Do you want gangs like this invited into the White House by the subversive in chief? There is a RICO statute, Racketeering Influence Corrupt Organization. Look into them. Look into these criminal organizations and who is behind them.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All rise, please. You're not in a moving vehicle, and you're one of those who still love this country, and you want to stand up to the supremacists who are trying to take over this nation. Put your hand on your heart and remember who you are and what this nation is. There are millions of us. and the lawlessness committed through these well-organized anti-American organizations funded by George Schwartz, known as George Soros, namely the illegal alien supremacist racists invited into the White House by the divider-in-chief. Well, let the song finish itself. God bless America. Welcome to the Savage Nation. We saw what happened last week, that Donald Trump, a legitimate candidate for the presidency of the United States, was mobbed by illegal aliens, run by La Raza, funded by George Schwartz, George Soros. They tried to prevent the legitimate candidate from speaking, these criminals. This was not a legal protest. It was an illegal protest, and the police did nothing. The police did absolutely nothing in that area. And these terrorist groups will have their day, believe me, in court. That's when they're going to have their day. The riots, the domestic terrorism, those promising more of the same in the future, they will have their day in court as sure as I'm sitting here. In the spring of 2016, the current divider-in-chief brought into the White House the so-called Black Lives Matter criminal organization's key provocateur and called their many acts of gross immorality and lawlessness as outstanding work. He no doubt talked to them behind closed doors, him and Al Sharpton, and told them to put out more of the same. Do you remember the famous Obama speech from 07 or 08? Which we may still have, Robert, you could probably dig it up, where he said we need to have a domestic security force just as well armed, just as well funded as the U.S. military. Remember that one? And everyone thought that that was just kind of an off shot that would never happen. You're telling me that these mobs are not that domestic police force he's been calling for? This is not his mob? These are not his street thugs? You telling me this is about social justice? This is right in your face, a revolution going on. It's a violent revolution occurring right in front of your eyes. And the police have been rendered powerless by Al Sharpton, the former attorney general, the current attorney general, the president, and of course the subservient, obsequious, non-existent fifth column called the media. Which is why the media has no representation amongst the people, meaning the people have no respect for the media whatsoever. Popularity at the lowest level in history, lower than that of a politician. Because the people, we the people, are not stupid. We see what's going on. We understand that by acquiescing to these criminals, and by acquiescing to the criminal acts of the political class, they're encouraging it by permitting it. And so the question today becomes, again, where are the good shepherds? I started last hour by playing a scene from the Good Shepherd. Great movie, by the way. Slow moving in retrospect. It was a little faster then. Great characters. I don't like Matt Damon's politics whatsoever. And of course, the whole movie was created to smear the CIA. I get it. That's how they do it. That's how they work. That's how Hatzenberg, and Klatzenberg, and all the others operate. They're very clever. They're very artistic. But for some reason, there's a missing gene somewhere, a gene of patriotism. For some reason, I don't quite get it. I don't understand what happened, how it skipped a generation, because their fathers weren't like this. Spielberg's father was a Air Force pilot in World War II, a bombardier. How did it skip a generation? Where did the gene go? Don't think I'm making this a racial thing, because I'm not. Something's wrong. Something targeted the gene of patriotism in these men in Hollywood, and they produce this generation. And so I ask again, where are the good shepherds in this hour on the Savage Nation? And we also continue the savagisms topic from yesterday, borders, language, culture. Remember the ones I said, what will I be remembered for? Red diaper doper babies, the stench from the benches making me clench, the sewer pipe of Hollywood. The fourth estate has become the fifth column. Music used to be heavy metal. Today it's aluminum. Anyway, things like that. If you have anything new that you want to add to that, we'll take your calls. If you're a former intelligence officer who knows what I am saying and knows that he is a greater subversive than even I can imagine, and you care to say something about it? What do you people say to each other? Can't the former intelligence officers of America ever get together and make a conference, a press conference, and say that enough is enough, this has to be stopped? Your mother may be a liberal who probably gets $900 a month in Social Security benefits after working her entire life, right? And yet, Barack Obama has budgeted $17,613 for every new illegal minor. Double, much more than double than that of Social Security retirees in the United States of America. Now, why is Obama doing this? How does he get away with it? Remember, the Congress has to approve this. They control the budget. Remember, we had a congressman on 6 months ago, my friend from Texas, who said he wouldn't fund something. I never heard any follow-up on that. What happens when this actually gets down to the congressional budget level? Do they actually act on it? So let's begin the hour with a little scene from The Good Shepherd. Let's play the short version, Robert. Please, the shorter one. Go ahead on the Savage Nation.
We Italians, we got our families and we got the church. The Irish, they have the homeland. The Jews, their tradition. What about you people, Mr. Carlson? What do you have?
The United States of America. The rest of you are just visiting.
I love that line, because there was once a hardcore like that. You may say the WASP, whatever you want to say. It doesn't mean it's a derogatory thing. The white Anglo-Saxon Protestant is a very proud race of people. They once did run this country, and they ran it real well. Oh, please don't bring up the... Please, stop already. Please, I don't want to hear all of the propaganda that goes with every statement you make. I'm tired of the window dressing that must be attached to every statement about the greatness of America. Leave the window dressing out. Put the potato salad somewhere else. I'm talking about the roast beef of America, not the side dishes, which we've all eschewed by now. Yeah, the roast beef of America. Where are these men and women? Where did they go? What happened to them? They're not all dead. They haven't all disappeared. John on WMAL, go ahead, please. Tell us what you think is going on.
So I actually work for a executive branch agency, which will remain unnamed. I was in middle school when 9/11 happened, and I was raised, you know, very nationalistic, you know, America first. And throughout high school and college, when I was thinking about what I wanted to do, I really was pulled towards defending this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic, as our oath states. And I've gotten into it, and in my career, it's essentially, you know, the everyday people, we actually do a lot more than most people give us credit for. If you remember, Bush, in his address to Congress, talked about, you know, this battle will be waged in spectacular, you know, strikes seen on TV, and also in covert operations, secret even in their success. And so I think what a lot of us do is we just focus on the day-to-day work of keeping America safe. Now, when we see good ideas that we think could be better, we push that up the chain. And I can't tell you how many good ideas I've seen strangled by red tape, because it's the top-down that becomes the problem, that push the new policies, that push the politically correct rhetoric. And so we just try and keep our heads down, steer clear of that, and, you know, do the task at hand, which is keeping America safe. Because we have to be right 100 times out of 100. The enemy only has to...
But, you know, well, okay, I'm not knocking what you do. I'm sure you do things that are very important and very brave. But why is there never any conversation about what Obama is doing that is subverting the United States of America? Why do we never hear that? You know what he's doing.
I know, and a lot of my colleagues know, and we are vocal about it. It's just there's not a whole lot that we can do because, I mean...
Well, I understand. You can't get up and shoot your mouth off like a talk show host because you'll lose your job and your pension. Maybe worse would happen to you. God only knows what they do to people who step out of line in government. Are we to believe that they actually physically bring harm to such an individual and their family? Does that happen?
No, that doesn't happen, and we are protected by, you know, Whistleblower Act and all. You know, some people didn't choose to do that, and the problem is, you know, you see things like that, and in the media, a lot of stuff leaks and things not being taken seriously, like Hillary's email stuff, and it's really demoralizing.
You know, there's an interest. I got to see this, John. Does the intelligence community recognize the danger we're in from the invasion by the Islamic State into this country on the front groups that use the courts and the press to push Sharia law on us? Are they aware of what the Muslim fanatics are doing in this country right now, that we are losing the war against radical Islam in this country? Do they know that?
I'd say the vast majority of everyone that I've worked with understands that people aren't as scared of things because they don't really know what's out there. And we see people coming in, and don't get me wrong, you know, the media tries to malign the community, but we are very, very careful about how we do things, and we make sure that we're within the law. But we see people coming over, and one of the problems, in my opinion, that we see a lot is when you have people basically entering into what is known as U.S. territory, because the laws are very, very specific about what happens in that transition. And so we've seen a lot of good stuff over the last several years about, you know, the community working together, especially with the FBI.
I understand it's a religion of peace, and they all come here and they love America. Yeah, sure, that's the party line. The party line is the president will never say the word Islamic and extremism together. He will never say Islamic in relationship to any crimes against humanity. There's an interesting article today on Breitbart, Pamela Geller. In the year since the first Islamic State attack on American soil, these Muslims confirmed the war has just begun. And she lists over 30 events by Muslims of terrorism in this nation. Over 30. I'm stunned as I read this. If you look at the list of jihad activity, you'll find out that it's far greater than you could ever imagine. And then I woke up today and found that terror-tied groups like CAIR have sued the state of California, sued police departments today from set-up women who got arrested for a crime and then said that the police department forced them to remove their headdress, which, by the way, is police policy, because anyone can hide anything in a do-rag or in a hat or a hijab, whatever you call it. It doesn't make it sacred because you say it's sacred. You could put drugs, you could put weapons in there. And yet CAIR has brought lawsuits against police departments in the furtherance of their attempts to demoralize the police and to destroy this country. This is what I'm talking about. And John, thank you so much for your service to this country. I know that there must be thousands of men and women like you. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
2007, a civilian national security force that is just as strong. So he's debased the military, destroyed the Navy, number of ships lower than that of World War I. The military is demoralized. Meanwhile, he's encouraged La Raza, Black Lives Matter, NAN, Occupy. Put them all together and suddenly you see, wait a minute, that could be the civilian national security force that he's been talking about. Only thing missing are the uniforms. But if he gave them all uniforms, if he took these disparate groups, La Raza, Black Lives Matter, Black Panthers, all one now, they've kind of merged, I think, NAN, all of the other groups that have intimidated the middle class from voting booths to political rallies, and you put them together and you gave them all uniforms, why, that would make for a civilian national security force. The only part of that speech that's missing is just as well armed and just as well funded, because they're probably better funded through the groups like George Schwartz, Soros, and the other groups that are funding them, the billionaires who are funding them. The only thing missing are the weapons and the uniform. But make no mistake about it, they're intimidating you. They're frightening you, aren't they? Isn't that what Obama wants? Doesn't he want you intimidated before the election? Doesn't he want you in line? Yeah, civilian national security force, just as well funded. Really interesting how I put two and two together here. And I'm asking, where are the good shepherds? I can't be the only one who sees this. But let's take a couple of lighter calls now, because I think some of you have reached your point of saturation. You can only take so much pain. Here come the pain. I know what that's like. You can only take it for so long. So let's lighten it up for a few seconds. Let's go to WJR. Dave, what's your call about, please? Go ahead.
I tweet out your savagisms once in a while on my social networks, and one that popped up in my history the other day was one that you said a couple of years ago. And it says it all. It's funny, but it's thought-provoking. You said, we've gone from Hillel to Halal in one generation.
That's something only Jews could understand, right?
And I'm not even a Jew.
How'd you figure that one out, though?
Oh, I read. I know things, but...
Okay, that's another savagism, like borders, language, and culture. I'm sending you a copy of Teddy and Me, because at least it's a light note. From Hillel to Halal, very good. One other savagism, K-I-N-A in Kansas. Rhonda, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, one of the lines that I remember you saying that really had an impact for me was, do you want to be right or do you want to be smart?
Well, that was said to me when I was a young man by a lawyer, and I was hot-headed about something, and I kept saying, I want to sue, and he said, do you want to be right or do you want to be smart? And that stuck with me. That's a good saying. It can save people a lot of trouble in life, because many of us think we have to be right all the time, but we should remember that we sometimes should be smart some of the time.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, do you want me to continue with this show of where are the good shepherds, where have they gone? Because they are there. They didn't just die and disappear because Obama came along and he used the thugs to scare everyone into submission. Where is everybody? We in talk radio, the few people on the internet, aren't the only ones who see what this man is doing, letting the mobs run the country. Here's an article just came out. Thailand bans rude opinions ahead of crucial referendum. Thailand, which is, by the way, a military dictatorship, bans rude opinions ahead of crucial referendum. Now, if you work for a corporation, you basically are living in a dictatorship. It's run by a junta. And you know that if you express yourself, you will be demoted or fired. Well, you're basically living in a military dictatorship, the equivalent of a military dictatorship. If you are going to diversity training, if you are subject to oversight by people who don't like your Facebook posts, you're living in a dictatorship. Thailand bans rude opinions ahead of crucial referendum. Many Thais are chafing under strict new regulations governing discussion ahead of the August 7th referendum on a military-backed constitution. The junta that seized power has already threatened to jail anyone campaigning for or against the Constitution. Okay? Under the new regulations, Thais must express their opinions with, quote, polite words without distorting the facts. Rude, aggressive, or intimidating interviews with the media are banned. So is organizing a panel discussion, quote, with the intent to incite political unrest, unquote. Also forbidden are, quote, T-shirts, pins, and buttons that encourage others to campaign. Violators can be jailed for up to 10 years. This sounds like what will happen if Hillary Clinton wins the election. If you think that we're far from that, you are mistaken. If you think she's far from running the equivalent of a junta, take a look at what Barry from Honolulu has done so far. I mean, if I express my opinion using reason and facts and I get emotional, should that be a crime? I am controlled, by the way, by commercial interests on this show. If I make one mistake that's crucial, I lose my career forever. So I walk on the tightrope every day. So I have to think twice about what I say, what I post, what I share. I always have. And yet I still do it forcefully. I still express my opinion, even though everything is at stake with every opinion. So if thinking differently from the media, if thinking differently from the mainstream political class is a crime, then living inside or outside of jail is practically the same. You want to live in a jail? You're already living in a prison. If you think differently than what you're supposed to think at work, then you're already a prisoner. You've already lost your freedom. Now I go back to the main question, which unto itself could be considered subversive. And the question is, where are all the good shepherds? Where have they gone? KLIF, Dallas. Bruce, you're on the Savage Nation. Thank you. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, the thesis today has really hit home for me. It's really been a 10-year question for myself. The intelligence business is all about being able to answer questions. And for the most part, the people who work in the intelligence community try to determine the truth as best they can from the information at hand, and turn that over to the political body to decide what is in the best interest of the nation. Well, after practicing in the community for a number of years, things began to change, and sorry to say it happened first under George Bush, is that increasingly the intelligence analyst space and most facets of things became politicized. Now, I understand that a president needs to put their people at the top of all the command and control structure, but more and more it became evident that people who thought and behaved in a certain way with allegiance to a political directive were the ones who were given voices of authority. And up until that time, there had been sort of written code that the intelligence community stayed out of politics and the political community stayed out of intelligence. From what I understand...
Well, let me ask you this. Why did Dianne Feinstein make it a personal vendetta to attack the CIA and go after them? What was it that she was afraid of?
Well, there's really a lot of data out there, Dr. Savage. I don't want to get into it more than that. But I think some of your earlier suggestions were probably spot on.
You mean about Dianne Feinstein's dealings using intelligence that she garners as a federal employee? Is that what you're implying?
Well, without getting myself eligible for federal prison, let's just say if you had political operatives inside the intelligence space, you would be surprised how much information ends up in the hands of people who wouldn't normally be briefed on it.
I get it. No, I understand you can only go so far, and I know that all of you are watched after your service to the country. You're probably on a much higher watch list than I am. And you probably have every one of your phone calls and emails monitored by some freak from Harvard who just got the job and knows nothing about the value of being a citizen or a patriot. So I understand the danger we're in because these red brigades are everywhere. So, Bruce, do you agree with me that if Trump does become president, there is a hope of a chance that we can have the country back again?
I'll be honest. I'm not sure how many generations it will take to put things back. One man, one person elected to the highest office can destroy much faster than anyone can build.
Well, now you put your finger on the problem. So Obama's destructive years, the dismantling of our intelligence apparatus, the degradation of the military, the poisoning of the political climate, you're saying is almost it's hopeless to try and fix it?
Well, it's the same plan as being used against the military to defang, to disable, and to really reduce the capability of the intelligence community to prosecute the amount of information collection and dissemination necessary to let the warfighters know who the bad guys are, where they're operating, and how to most effectively shut them down.
Mm-hmm. Amazing conversation. Bruce, I'll let you go. I won't even take your address for a book. Okay. Thanks for the call. In fact, I put that out to all good shepherds who are listening and want to join now, who are encouraged to call. We will not ask for your email address to give you a free book. We won't at all ask you any questions, and I can guarantee you, you'll never be bothered by us again. Where are the good shepherds? They have to be out there. I'd like to know where they are. Pamela on KSFO, San Francisco, please give us your opinion.
I can sum it up in three little words called suspension of disbelief.
Okay, but you have to explain it because it doesn't mean much to most people.
Well, people see all this outrageous stuff taking place, and they just can't believe it.
So in other words, you're saying Obama's subversion is right there in front of their eyes, and they don't believe it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And he does it on a daily basis. Drip, 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 drip. $17,000 per illegal alien a teen. Double that of Social Security, or triple that of some Social Security. Drip, drip, drip. Nothing happens. He gets away with it every day. And that's because we have a supine press. Isn't that true?
Right. But it's been going on for 40 or 50 years, so people become desensitized. If this had happened back in 1950 or 1960, the reaction would have been completely different.
All right, I'm sending you a copy of Teddy and Me, Confessions of a Service Human. Maybe people are just ready for a pleasant book now. Maybe politics are over. Maybe it's an age now of God and dogs. I remember seeing bumper stickers that used to say, dog is my co-pilot, and I thought it was cute in the 70s. Then in the 80s, I got mad at it. Figure that one out. When it first came out with people that dog is my co-pilot on the back of a bumper sticker, I thought it was cute. Then when I became more religious, I got very angry. Now I don't care what they say on the bumper sticker. They can put what they want on it. It doesn't affect me. At the end of the day, it's our own belief system that matters. Isn't it true? Oh, well, the dog just heard about it. He just jumped down. Anyway, I'm not going to read from the book right now. I'm not in the proper frame of mind. WMAL, Washington, D.C. Steve, thanks for calling. You're a former Good Shepherd or a current Good Shepherd?
Well, I'd like to consider myself both a former and a current one. I'm a retired intelligence officer. I served 25 years in the military. I'm a combat veteran. I've been four times to the battlefield. And based on what I saw on active duty and then working around, federal intelligence offices as a contractor, you know, there's really two words that explain it. It's called the Hatch Act. So for the listeners that aren't familiar, the Hatch Act restricts what federal employees can do both in the office and away from the office regarding political activity. And then unfortunately, intelligence officers and intelligence employees fall into further restricted employees, and they have additional restrictions on them. So, you know, Dr. Savage, it's amazing. I mean, you know, every election cycle, federal offices put out memos that are 3 to 4 pages long of all the don'ts that you cannot do and should not do as a federal employee, you know, regarding elections. And it's intimidating, and a lot of that just carries over. A lot of military people become federal employees, but I opted not to do that. Instead, I went to the private sector, and I got involved immediately in my local political party. And now I work hard in elections at the county level, the state level, and in the federal level.
I want to ask you a question. This is more of a test of my balance, my mental balance, than anything else. And I'll put myself right on the line. Do you believe that my analysis that Obama is a subversive is correct, or is it imbalanced?
Correct. I mean, I think he's running a classic insurgency model.
Okay, that's good. So what's an what is an insurgency model?
It's, you know, at the grassroots, and you convince the little simple-minded people that your way is the right way, and then it just gradually starts spreading, and you gradually gain control over every aspect of their life until you dominate the entire territory.
Okay, so given that his background was that of straight-out communism, Franklin Marshall Davis, Alinsky, all of that, what is his end goal? He has had maximum power for 8 years. Him and his wife have never enjoyed such power. They and never imagined they could enjoy such wealth and power. What is his end game?
You know, it's hard to say, but I would just say that, a large dominating government that, I don't want to bring in too many racial aspects of it, but he does harbor a lot of, racial divide. He's caused so much racial division in the country, it's unbelievable. And I think he uses that as part of his insurgent strategy to keep control of, the leftists and the Democrats that support him. And I just think he wants to continue that to make sure we have a caretaker nation.
You are very, very, very succinct in your choice of words. I wish I was as succinct as you are. But then if I was, and I pride myself on my ability to be succinct, I would probably be out of business after one show. And so I'm speechless because of what you just said. But, I have to, Steve and everyone else listening to the show, sometimes I get so wound up with what I'm doing, I have to sometimes step back and say, now, wait a minute. Is this rational, my analysis of what this man is and what he's doing? Is it rational for me to say he is a subversive? Is it rational for me to say that there is a non-existent press, that the Fourth Estate has become the fifth column? I would have to say, listening to some of these gentlemen who have been calling the show, that I am right. And I will not take your number nor your address, Steve, to send you a copy of Government Zero. I wish I could, but do you want me to do that? Because the guys will do it.
Well, one thing I just wanted to add, to just answer your question, is that there are a lot of us out there. We're involved in our local political parties. We're mobilizing voters. We're raising money. We're part of the party leadership, and we've taken our energy and our leadership abilities and our knowledge of, you know, what we've learned after 25 years, and we're putting it to good work.
How about the Oath Keepers? Are many of you in the Oath Keepers?
I'm not, and I really don't know the answer to that.
Well, I want to thank you for your service then and now, and I think you've inspired many listening to the show who remain silent to get more active politically. Back in a minute on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. Welcome to the safe space of the Savage Nation. It's a turn of a phrase here. This is a safe space for those of you who are patriots and love America. Isn't that interesting and ironic? You're free of the microaggressions of those who hate America and hate the country. You're free of the microaggressions, that's all. This is a safe space. Michael Savage says, the Savage Nation radio show is a safe space. You're safe from all of the little fascists who are afraid of new ideas, afraid of discussing ideas, terrified that they'll fail in college because they don't have the critical or intellectual skills to get through college, and so they use bullying tactics, and they create things such as safe spaces in order to intimidate anyone who would call them for what they are doing. Michael Bloomberg, who's not one of my favorite people, gave a commencement speech at the University of Michigan in which he said, why safe spaces are terrible mistakes. I admire him for this. And what he said to these children is the whole purpose of college is to learn how to deal with difficult situations, not run away from them. A microaggression is exactly that micro. And one of the most dangerous places on a college campus is a safe space because it creates the false impression that we can insulate ourselves from those who hold different views. That's beautiful. Well put. Very bright man, whoever wrote it, brilliant speech. But we're living through a very disturbing time in America. And I don't have to re-summarize for you why I say that. I'll just summarize it by saying there is a dance of death in the West, an actual death in the Middle East, courtesy of the Islamofascists. That was the opening line to my best-selling book, Government Zero. And I talk about a government bringing in unvetted Muslim immigrants at a time like this. And how we have an ideologue in the White House who is drunk on his own power. Think about it. Think about the progressive utopia and where it is leading us. I'll be back for another big hour right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Just put your hand over your heart and smile if you want. Think it's cute. Be sarcastic, be cynical. Laugh at everybody else. Go ahead, see if I care. I do believe that there's a dawn of a new nationalism. I believe I have a big role in this dawn. the dawning. And I believe that you're going to see changes unlike any you could ever imagine. And they will not all be pretty. Just play it for a minute, please. Louder, louder, louder. Just to the crescendo. My friends and listeners, the national anthem is the antidote to the enemies of our freedom. The national anthem will drive them away. They will understand that we stand for something. They will understand that we have a culture. They will understand that we have borders. They will understand we have a language. They will understand that we have a history. And they will understand, most importantly, that we're not going anywhere. They're going to hit a rock wall very soon. And who is they? Oh, you saw them last Friday when Trump tried to speak. That's who they are. Oh, you saw them in Ferguson. That's who they are. You saw them in Baltimore. That's who they are. You saw him sneaking in and out of the White House for the last 6 years. His name is Al Sharpton. That's who they are. Oh, they've been elevated to God's head. They're part of the mainstream now, aren't they? They cleaned them up, gave them a new look, new suit. But you know what? It's the same person that started the ball game rolling. The same man with a megaphone screaming, "Burn it down," at Freddy's Fashion Mart. The same man who accused the detective Pagonis of smearing feces on a black woman and raping her, made the whole thing up. He's still not in jail. In fact, he was rewarded with a trip to the White House. Now, look, I'm a political independent. I've never been a registered Republican. And I will tell you right now that both parties are not my cup of tea. And I'm a man in the middle in that sense. The only thing I believe in is the country. And for the last couple of hours, I've been talking about a movie called The Good Shepherd, done back in 04, I think, which I watched last night, a replay. And it was about the famous line of the Edward Wilson character, the CIA operative, when he is asked, "What about you people, Mr. Wilson? What do you have?" I think it's worth playing that last part where Joe Pesci is playing a modified version of the Lucky Luciano part, you know, where they go to him for help on the waterfront, naval intelligence did in World War II, well-known story. And they say to him that we know that you run the waterfront, the mob controls the waterfront, and a ship had just been burned to the waterline. And there's the rumors that it wasn't the Nazis that did it. It was actually the mob that did it in order to get the government to come to them. I don't know the truth of that. But a deal was worked out that if Luciano would intervene on the waterfront and help the U.S. government uncover the Nazis, the subversives at the time, Luciano would be given favors by the government. And this is a kind of play on that. So let's play the short version of that scene from The Good Shepherd, and then again, ask where are the Good Shepherds on the Savage Nation?
We Italians, we got our families and we got the church. The Irish, they have the homeland. The Jews, their tradition. What about you people, Mr. Carlson? What do you have?
The United States of America. The rest of you are just visiting.
I love the line. And I was asking, after seeing the movie again last night, where have all the good shepherds gone? And that's what I'm asking you today on the Savage Nation. And again, if you care to join the conversation, there's one open line. This is an amazing topic. We're jammed up with people who work for the government, did work for the government, know what's going on, and they've been calling. We're also getting people with quotes from savagisms. And now I want to go to my article today that came out in World Net Daily on Obama will sabotage the economy on the way out. And World Net Daily wrote it. And they said this: wait until you see what happens in the last few months if Trump wins. If Donald Trump wins the Republican nomination and defeats likely Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton in November, President Obama will sabotage the economy in his final months in office, predicts talk radio host Michael Savage. The reason I say that is not because of his policies, but because of what Obama will do on the way out the door. Savage said that if anyone thinks that a President Trump will be able to easily turn this huge ship around, you don't know much about navigation in turbulent waters. Wait until you see what happens in the last few months if Trump wins, Savage said. Wait until you see what that nice guy in the White House does. After the show, Savage elaborated to WND in an email on what he thinks the lame duck period between the election and the inauguration might look like if Trump wins. Federal Reserve Chairman Janet Yellen ups interest rates. Obama and his band of unmarried pranksters, Sharpton and Company, unleash the mobs, Savage said. George Soros makes a last-ditch effort to distract Trump and the new Justice Department from currency manipulation and other financial games he may have been playing. Spends tens of millions on social agitation. Obama floods the U.S. with Central Americans, Syrians and Africans, mainly Muslim, mainly young males, and grants pardons to 10,000 more Central American drug dealers, Savage continued. Let's see what else might these decent Americans do. Release a few more billion pork barrel green projects? You can guess. Fidel an address. Prior to his remarks about Obama's final days in office, Savage told his listeners he believed Trump would defeat Clinton in a landslide, describing the former Secretary of State, Senator, and First Lady as Fidel Castro an address. Savage cited the new Rasmussen poll of likely voters showing Trump with a 41-39 lead over Clinton nationally. And this is only an early poll, Savage noted. I said a long time ago that when it comes down to Trump versus Clinton, he would win by a landslide, 60-40, something like that. No matter how many illegal aliens Obama tries to flood into this country, Trump will win by a landslide. In February, Michael Savage warned that the banking deregulation under the Bill Clinton administration that led to the 08 recession appears to be on the verge of impacting the economy again. We're being set up for an economic meltdown similar to the one that triggered the Great Depression, he said. This time, however, Savage continued, is going to occur on a global scale, and it's unlikely that we'll be able to recover within even the next several decades once it happens. In the 2016 presidential election, he said, the subtext for most Democratic voters is a distrust of big business and banks, and they think that their savior is Bernie the commie, Savage said. But Sanders is and always has been a politician. If you have faith in him, you're a fool. If you actually have faith that he's going to do something different than the others, you're totally crazy. You'll get more of the same. You'll get the same nonsense. He'll do nothing to the banks because they control the presidency. Well, that's only the beginning of the sabotage that Obama will be engaging in to continue the thrust of what he has been doing thus far. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. If you care to join the conversation, let's go to the callers. Line 8, Bob on KLIF in Dallas. Go ahead, please, sir. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I'm outside. I'm kind of in hiding. I appreciate your program. I appreciate your voice of America. Real quickly, I have to say this. I'm a retired Air Force veteran, 21 years, secret special access required. Worked three different weapon systems, two of them new to the administration. I've been with the Immigration Service for 15 years, came on right before 9/11. And I can tell you the last 8 years, we are seeing the systematic genocide of a single race of people within this country. And he's using my very agency to destroy this country through genocide.
Yeah, I know the genocide. I know which race he has targeted. It doesn't take an Albert Einstein to see what he's doing and who he's targeting. In that sense, he's a madman. He's a madman. He has a vendetta. A specific vendetta that is obvious to anyone who studies what he is doing, who he is favoring. Why would he want to give $17,000 to illegal alien teenagers who are not citizens per illegal alien when Social Security recipients who have worked all their lives receive much less than that, maybe $600 or $900 a month? Why would he be doing that? What is he saying about the future of America? What is he trying to do?
He's breaking the back of the middle class, and he's using it through. And your talking points, the article you cited previously to this call, is dead on, spot on. And we're seeing it through the military communities. We're seeing it in our agency. The directors are mandating people to approve applications. The DACA the entire DACA program. There is no fraud, and we within this agency, and we're being told there's no fraud. I work on the side that there is fraud, and there's nothing we can do about it. Our hands are being tied behind our back. We're reporting. But what I do want to tell you, though, real quickly, and I I do have.
No, go ahead. Take your time. Don't get jumbled up. It's fine. We're listening to you. I want to know where the Republican Party is. Some of them must be good shepherds, aren't they?
Right after San Bernardino, the public outcry was social media. On the 22nd of December, they brought us all in, 13 of us. They brought us in for a special social media to start vetting these applicants through social media. We found so much within 3 days, they shut the program down. They didn't want to hear what we were finding.
Wait. You mean you were looking at social media to find Muslims who were plotting against America, and you found so many that they shut you down?
They had been lying to the American people from the very beginning. We were not using social media. The 22nd of December, they brought 13 of us in, put us in a room, and made it impossible through these gateways to access the Internet, to access social media and start vetting these people, these K-1s that were coming in, K-1 visa holders.
And where are they coming from?
They were coming from Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Yemen. Anyway, long story short.
No, wait a minute. So he's bringing in Muslims who are unvetted, who hate America? Is that what you're saying you discovered in your analysis? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying they hate America. What I'm saying is, in those 3 days, it was supposed to be a 10-day program, in those 3 days, we found so much, and we were reporting derogatory information to the top. They shut the program down just after 3 days. We only have...
And who? The top of what? The Immigration Service?
I'm going to have to say yes.
All right, let's let it go at that. Fine, I don't want to go any further than this. Okay, and so therefore there is a systemic meltdown of security services under Obama. Would that be safe to say?
Yeah, I watch these morning news shows and I just shake my head. They're lying to us. And so what they did was about a month ago, they started it back up. This is with a different cadre of 5 people now to vet social media, these applicants through social media, just 5 people. And they're finding so much that they shut the program down again. They do not want to vet these people. They do not want to see.
So what is Obama's end game? What does he want to happen to this country, in your opinion? What is the end game? What is the end game? Tell me what it is.
You said it before you took my call. He's going to unleash total chaos in this world. He's going to flood this country with so much, that this country can't handle it, and we're just going to buckle. I just believe that. I mean, we are disgusted. And what they're doing in my agency, what they're doing is they're stifling good men.
So the good shepherds are being shut down by the bad shepherds, in plain English. The evil shepherds are shutting down the good shepherds. I'll let you go, my friend. I thank you for this most alarming of calls. But I can't say that I'm surprised. But I think it's far worse than you believe, and I think it's far worse than anyone believes. I believe that he has a totally villainous view of America, and that he wants nothing but the worst to happen to all of us in the middle class. And as the man said, he is targeting a specific gene pool with his hatred and his policies. I know this is very hard for the average person to digest, and it's very easy to reject that and say, I didn't hear that, I don't want to hear it. But there is such acts going on actively in my analysis and that of those who are calling, and they know more than you do. They know more than all of the progressive professors put together. Believe me, they work there, they see it. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CON. Well, my friends, you know, I often have a very pessimistic view of things political, as many of you do, but there's a part of me that's very optimistic. My mother taught me to be, you know, always hopeful. And I always say to people who get down, and some people I know who's pretty rich and smart, successful, they built it all on their own. They look ahead and they see nothing. They see a black hole. They say this country can't survive. And I say, oh, come on, we'll survive this. And I actually believe it when I say it. But you know what? After today, I don't. I don't know if I believe it anymore. When I reached out today and I said, where are all the good shepherds? And I've been getting calls from people who do work and have worked in intelligence, and they tell me what is actually being done. It's actually worse than I feared. And I can't even add to that. The only thing that astonishes me is how he gets away with it, how he has not been impeached, how there's been not one cry from the opposition party screaming from rooftops that he's got to be stopped in his last months before it's too late. Not one word. I've never seen anything like this in the history of this country, that we have a fanatic leftist in the White House, and he goes about his daily business as though he's just a normal, nice guy doing his job. And the propaganda continues to march on, and the band plays on. Anyway, I think I made my point. What about your point? There's someone calling on line four that we have to take, and oh, my goodness. Mitch on WABC, fire away. You got 30 seconds. I'll come back to you after the break. What did you want to say?
I think the answer, the end game, is a Malthian catastrophe. And Malthusianism is what is running rampant. I think the overall goal is a population growth. These people follow the book, the meek shall inherit the earth, and I think that's what they're planning to do, to undermine our...
What do you mean, flood us with illegal aliens who overtake the country in a Malthusian population explosion?
They are...
Hold on, we got to continue on this. I got to hear more about it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, so tonight's another huge primary. Every indicator has Trump winning by a landslide. You got a crazy talk show host who is deranged, off the rail deranged, crazy. Just crazy. Been on this road a long time. As I said, I didn't know that Preparation H crossed the blood-brain barrier as quickly as it apparently has in the case of Glenn Beck. And they should look into the additives that they may be using in the Preparation H that is being used today, because that's one of the explanations for what's happened to him. He was always very, very dim-witted. He was always on a lower scale of human intelligence. But he had this religious revival gene in him, like a Margio in a church tent. And he rose to popularity using the Mormon Church as his secret audience. They bought his books. They cheered him on. His ratings rose as a result of that religious base group. And now the guy's nuts altogether. Okay, that's one story. You can make him the story if you want. But he's indicative of what's going on during this campaign. Well, I don't want to talk about it because we don't know what's going to happen. He's 56% nationally Trump right now. Can he save the country? Who knows? What will Ted Cruz do tomorrow when he loses again? I really don't know. I just hope that Carly Fiorina gets a little more stability in her footwear at the next rally. I'd hate to see the girl hurt herself again. The Enemy Within, 2003. It's a shell game, I wrote. They give you free health care, then enslave you with a tax burden so heavy you go into cardiac arrest from the load. Savage Nation, 2006. Note the year, 2006. Note the year, 2006. The Islamists smell weakness in the West and are attacking us on several fronts at once. One, through outright war. Two, through immigration. Three, through their propaganda disseminated through the liberal media. And four, through the liberal courts. Only a devastating military blow against the hearts of Islamic terror, coupled with an outright ban on Muslim immigration, laws making the dissemination of enemy propaganda illegal, and the uncoupling of the liberal ACLU can save the United States. 2007. Let me tell you something. Not all religions are peaceful. Not all religions are equal. Not all religions teach turn the other cheek. Some religions teach their adherence to kill. Look around the planet and see what's really going on. Every day you're brainwashed. You're told it's a religion of peace. They're just like you. They're just like Christians. They are not. Islam is on the warpath around the world, wherever you look. Wherever you look. And yet if we raise the question, I wrote, about Islam being incompatible with the West, the day will come that we'll have a national debate about religion in this country. And we will determine that not all religions are welcome because they're not religions as we know them. Right now it's a taboo topic. You can't say that it's not the same as all other religions. But it is not the same as all other religions. Not at all. And everybody knows that. Everybody has studied it. Everyone knows it but the politicians and the media. prostitutes. Over 25% of U.S. Muslims under 30 say suicide bombings to defend their religion are acceptable. That was in 07 in a poll from the Liberal Pew Research Center. Even liberals came to know at some point that they're in danger. You know, your Bible has been revised several times. The Jewish Bible has been revised several times. The Christian Bible has been revised. It's gone through a middle age, sort of. Not the Quran. They still live in the 7th century. Kill homosexuals. Cut the clitoris off women. Put women in dark clothing. Cut off anyone's head who doesn't agree with you. What kind of religion is this, I asked. What kind of world are you living in when you let them in here with that throwback document in their hand, which is a book of hate? Don't tell me I need re-education. They need deportation. I don't need re-education. That was in 07. Anyway, there are many other things that we could talk about while we're listening to the folks calling on what's happened to the Good Shepherds and what is Obama's endgame. And let's go back to Mitch on WABC on line 4. Mitch, go ahead, please.
Hey, let me just say, I don't like when you say you're a crazy host, because we have a lot of crazy hosts, and you're the only one that says anything that really, I think, has any value. So don't take away from that. But back to what I was saying is this Malthusian, this idea is their end game. It's been the end game from the beginning. Population growth, this concern with the green technology and substance of life. This is their end game. They're really demented. They're very sick.
What do you mean by they? Who's they?
The powers that be currently. These liberals, I can't even say liberals, because these people are just uninformed, and they want to give away the shirt off their back, not realizing they're going to freeze themselves. But Obama,
I hear what you're saying. So the left has this Malthusian view of population growth, and they want to bring in millions of illegal aliens? Doesn't that increase population? Wouldn't that be in conflict with their idea to limit population?
I'm not worried about the population as one nation. The global population isn't increasing by bringing in the illegals. What the illegals are here is for the Malthusian catastrophe. The goal is to undermine our rule of law.
The goal is to weaken the language so that politicians can get away with virtual outright thievery. See, right now they can get away with thievery, but they're a little afraid that a lot of us still can read English and are on to them. The green gangsters, for example, the senators who trade on inside information and get away with it scot-free, giving it to their husbands and wives to make fortunes on it. Things like that. This type of nepotism has not gone on in the Western world since Napoleon III. Which, by the way, I don't want to go into the history of Napoleon III. It was the most corrupt period in modern, if you want to call it modern, French history. But right now we're going through the equivalent corruption under Obama. All right. Well, look, you made your point, and I don't want to belabor that point. I think the main point was the Good Shepherds and where have they gone? And how in the world does he get away with it? But the real issue is his vendetta against the European culture. I think that's the essence of what we've been trying to say today. There is a war going on in America, a culture war, that is directed not so much in your mind against morals or decency. You can put it that way if you want, but I'm not into moralizing on that level. There is a war against the European culture in America and in Europe itself. Angela Merkel is doing more damage to her nation than you could ever imagine. Why would a former communist from the Eastern Bloc, who seemed to be rather conservative as near as 4 or 5 years ago, why would she do a 180-degree turn and start flooding Germany with Africans and Muslims from the Middle East? What is she doing? Why is she undermining Germany? Why are they undermining every European nation with people who will never adapt to those cultures? What are they trying to achieve? Well, the same question begs an answer here in the United States of America. Obama is more naked about it, though. He actually has said why he's doing it. When he removed the bust of Winston Churchill, we all knew what he was doing. Now, he just recently said he didn't really remove it. Did you see that cover-up? As he gets near the legacy point of his administration's history, he said he didn't remove Winston Churchill's bust. He moved it to another room in the White House. Well, that's irrelevant. What's relevant is his worldview. His worldview was shaped by his father and by communists who raised him. Very influential early influences on his life. Now, I could spend the rest of the year talking about Obama's crimes against America, and it wouldn't get me anywhere. And the reason I did this show today is because we're at a very critical point in terms of our national security and our military. They have been attacked and watered down on such a repetitive basis that I don't know how it goes on from here. And the last straw for me was last week when I saw that Obama categorically and with the stroke of a pen, no congressional oversight required, took advantage of the power of the presidency, knowing it would cause a shock in the military, and he appointed a woman to head West Point, and it was a woman who had never served in combat, no combat experience whatsoever, a woman who had majored in poli-sci as an undergraduate, and they put a uniform on her and made her a general, and he made her the head of West Point, one of America's most prestigious military academies. And I asked myself, if this is not a punch in the nose to all of the men and women, by the way, who are serving America, who have served in combat, what is he trying to achieve? Why would he do a thing like this? It's not as though he picked a woman warrior and made her the head of West Point. He picked a woman who was not a warrior, in other words, a social engineer, to run West Point. To me, that was the last flashpoint in his attack upon every institution that is necessary for America to survive the future. When I first began in radio in 1994, I remember saying in the first few months that if the liberals go unchecked, this country will become like Portugal, that was once a great power and is now not even a world player. The people with money live behind 40-foot stone walls. The old families have been there hundreds of years. They're still there, by the way. And they live behind 40-foot walls in Portugal. But Portugal ceased to be a world power. It diminished in power, and I said, our military will become like that of Portugal. I remember it was quoted in the local newspaper, the San Jose Mercury News. They laughed at me. They said, ha, ha, Portugal, Portugal, ha, ha, ha. Savage things will become like Portugal militarily. Take a look at what he's done to the Navy. Do you know how many ships we have left? Take a look at the number of men and women in uniform. Take a look at what he has done. And take a look at the wars in space. Take a look at what he's done to NASA. If you look at it, it's as though we have an evil genius in the White House, someone who sat down with a careful plan from day one, from the get-go, and decided that he would do each thing in what stage, in what order, and take apart America from the top down. And he started very intelligently with our space program. If you think about it, one of the first things he did was weaken our ability to fight in space. That was one of his first acts, was to destroy NASA. Did you know that? Now, ask yourself, how did he go from there to here, to West Point? The answer is you. You're the reason it happened. I'm the reason it happened. I'd like not to blame myself, but maybe I haven't done enough. Maybe 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, and one bestseller after another just wasn't enough. But you know, I only have one life to lead. One mind, one heart, one soul. I can't give any more. I can't do any more. And I've done all I can do. And I'm saying the rest is up to you. And what that means is your decision. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not leading a revolution. I'm not leading an army. I'm not running for office. I'm trying to awaken you. I feel like a man running around with a giant trumpet trying to awaken you before it's just absolutely too late. The last straw this week was his mandate to spend $17,000 on every illegal alien teenager that he wants to flood America with from Central America. Non-citizens, mind you. They haven't worked one day in this country. They haven't put 1 cent into Social Security. They have contributed nothing to this nation. And in addition to bringing dissent, disorder, disharmony, and disease to this country, it's unlikely that many of them will ever contribute anything. Yes, I stand by those words. So why would he give them $17,000 of federal money in benefits to support them, while our veterans are still rotting in hospitals, and many of you on Social Security are making, what, $900 a month? Where does he get such an audacious desire from? From what does it evolve? What is the impetus of this hatred that comes from the smiling man from Honolulu? What is it? Where does it come from? How could there be a man in the White House with such a hatred for the country that gave him so much? You would think after 7.5 years of living more royally than any king on the planet has ever lived, him and his wife and his beautiful children and the mother-in-law, they've been feted around the world. Well, where have all the good shepherds gone? I think you heard some of them today on the Savage Nation radio program. I know they're out there. I only wish there was a way to organize them and bring them together for a press conference so they could put out the warning that we all need. Because I'm afraid one day we'll wake up and it'll be too late to even put out the warning. Nevertheless, I'd like to talk about Teddy and Me, Confessions of a Service Human, but I haven't gotten around to it. That beautiful book will be out next week, right after Mother's Day. I guess it's for Father's Day. But I'd rather point you to Government Zero, No Borders, No Language, No Culture. I'm amazed by how many people have not yet read this book, although it has been a bestseller for a long time. Was a bestseller for a long time. I believe that the cover itself says it all when it says there is no time to lose. The progressive Islamist agenda has advanced into every public square, from the White House to the military to your local public school. If America is to survive, it has to be stopped. Michael Savage has a plan. Get the inside story before it's too late. And I believe that the book is more important today than it was when it was published. It was meant to be a long-lasting, important document. And I guess I can conclude the book, Government Zero, by pointing you to the business chapter, Destroying the Dollar, because it ties into what I said earlier, that if Donald Trump should win, Obama, in my opinion, will sabotage the economy on the way out the door. Interest rates will be raised by Janet Yenta, and that will be just the beginning. And if you think the housing bubble was bad, wait until you see what happens after Yenta raises interest rates. Well, that's it. Nice, quiet, easy day. Nothing serious, nothing important. But all of you good shepherds out there, I want to thank you for taking the big leap forward by listening and calling. And would you please tell your friends what we've been talking about? It's time for all the good shepherds to circle the wagons.